on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP Financial President, Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Thursday, May 21st, the May 21st edition of InvestTalk. I appreciate you being with me. This is our one-hour session about protecting and growing your money, helping you meet today's money management challenges. And there's always a lot of them, right? And as you know, our job number one is answering your questions. So please know that you can get your questions to me anytime you want at 888-99-CHART or via Twitter at KPP Financial, which is our Twitter ID, or you can get a note directly to me, email, by clicking on Contact Steve or Contact Justin right there on investtalk.com, our website. So that's how you can reach me. We're live right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time, so you can call right now if you like. Everyone is looking for opportunities in all aspects of life, and searching for good investments is no different. We all want that, right? The problem most investors have is that they have a narrow view, putting their assets to work, hoping the values rise, but in fact, assets always fall and always rise. They go in two directions. And you know what? When they fall, that could mean great opportunity as well. Don't think just because something falls, I'm going to stay away from that. Not the right attitude. Assets can be bought, sold, or held, right? Stocks, equity, anything can be bought, sold, or held. Buying gives you the potential to earn a return on your money, but it also exposes you to risk of losing that money. Selling allows you to take risks off the table. Selling also gives you fresh funds to potentially invest in a new opportunity, but it also eliminates any potential gain from the asset you just sold. We all know these things. Holding allows you to reap cash flows and profits over time, especially if dividend payers, which usually provides some type of return, usually, and usually at a reasonable price. So one of the things you got to think about is opportunity costs. And opportunity costs could be because you didn't sell, because you didn't buy, because you have too much cash. Opportunity could be because you did sell and you did buy, and you did have a lot of cash. There's opportunities on all aspects, all sides. At different times of market, all three options are valid. Now, it is your job and my job to identify the opportunities. That's what the job is as an investor. In some situations, it might be wise just to deploy the cash and capital. But other times, it might be prudent to liquidate assets. And sometimes, going to cash is a very good idea. Now, none of this should be done as a method to time the market. None of it. But it sounds like it is timing the market, doesn't it? It does. It really does sound like that. But I just want you to be nimble, be open to all types of opportunities, not just the buy side opportunities. But the question, when to sell, well, that needs more discussion. When do you sell something? And we'll continue that on the topic of our main talking point today, by the way, as we go through this hour. That's going to be the main talking point. Remember, you can talk to us live, 4 to 5 Pacific time on InvestTalk, or in between times, just leave your question. Here's our first question of the day from our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART.
Steve and Justin, this is Pete from sunny Vegas. Actually, I have a comment, actually a good comment, that I really wish you would play it. I listened to no less than probably 8 to 10 different financial-related shows having to do with 401ks, IRAs, stock market, whatever, per week, 8 to 10 shows. And the problem I have with most of them is that they don't have the very simple thing that you guys have, which is the ability to actually call in question. It sounds almost unimportant, but we all have different lives, different time zones, coming different time zones that we call in from, and you guys are the only ones that have it. Everybody talks about the Twitter account and the Facebook account and log into this and check into that, but you're obviously catering to the audience that might not do that. So, again, I give you guys three toots for being one of the best radio shows that I've ever listened to. And that's pretty much the end of my comments. And keep up the good work. And I really enjoy the ability to be able to actually call in a message and actually hear the question and your answer a few days later or tomorrow. Thank you, guys. Signing off. This is Pete from Sunny Bay. Have a nice day, guys. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Well, that was nice of him. I appreciate that. And believe it or not, I didn't know that was going to be played. You would think I would, huh? And say, oh, make sure you play that piece. Well, I didn't. I know. But, you know, I have to say this. The radio show and podcasting that everybody does, all the financial guys, all of us are looking for business. And don't think I'm not. I'm looking for business. I just don't want the show we do to be an infomercial. I don't want it to be... And I have commercials to tell you the different programs we have and stuff, but I really want it to be informational. The same as our conferences. They're all informational. When we have a conference, it's to provide information. But I don't really want to blame the other guys for being more infomercial-like because, you know, that's their marketing. Same as me. I just do the soft sell. And I want you to know that. You know, that's how I do it. You know, I do want to teach you. I do think people can do it themselves. I do have no problems or qualms showing them or telling them or teaching them how to do it. I just know that for most people, it's way too much work. And, you know, it's just so much work and time that you don't want to do it. But you can do it if you have the time and the interest. You can. And I'll be happy to teach you. And my goal is, well, if you don't want to do it, you don't want to put the time in it, and you just, or you can't, then let me manage your money. It's as simple as that. Meanwhile, I'll answer all the questions you ever want to ask. Okay? So, our investors tend to get emotional when they see highs and lows in the market. Selling on impulse rather than strategy. When to walk away from an investment asset. That's going to be our main talking point today. And the feelings of the various emotions that drive people are the most dangerous thing in the stock market when you're an investor. You can't let your emotions drive you. Again, that's our main talking point. I also want to talk about existing home sales report that came out today. It was interesting when you read the different headlines. One headline say, oh, existing home sales were down from last month. Another headline, oh, great numbers on existing home sales. So which is it? We'll talk about why there's a difference and which is it. Do you know who Peter Schiff is? Okay, Peter Schiff is a big gold bug. He thinks gold is going to 5,000. He's been thinking that for the last 3 years when it's been going down. And now recently just started to act a little bit better. I want to talk about gold and will it go to 5,000? And you know what? I'll say this. Yes, it is going to go to $5,000 an ounce. Yes. But so the stock market, the Dow is going to go to 40,000 too. It's when. It's always when. And so when you get anybody that goes really big in one direction or another, always take it with a grain of salt. But I want to talk about that. And Wall Street versus Main Street. I got some interesting statistics. It's what's happened over since the Great Depression, the Great Recession, I should say, from last 6 years or so. Wall Street versus Main Street. Why Wall Street has mostly gained and while Main Street, the average guy, hasn't over that same period of time. Why? Because it's true. There's a study done by J.P. Morgan. That's what they say anyways, so we're going to go over that as well. But what do you want to talk about? That's what we really want to do. We're going to talk about what's on your mind. What did the market do? Well, it was up today. Yay! Not mixed, up. Okay, this is what it was up. The Dow is up 1. Yippee-yay, huh? The Dow is up 1. The NASDAQ was much better, up 19. And the S&P was up 5. Up 5. But it was a kind of on a bullish feel for the day. It was up and down during the day, but you know, it ended up being higher. So that's always good news. I mean, it was much higher before about 12:45 or let's say about 15 minutes before the market closed. It was much higher, and then it fell down. And when I say much higher, let's see, I mean, you know, almost double what it was. So the Dow was up 5. I mean, the Nasdaq was, the S&P was up 5, but it was up 10 and lost 5 of those points. Either way, it wasn't a major move for any of the indexes either way. And we haven't seen that. It's struggling. What's happening, I see, is the market is struggling at these highs, which is very close to the high made in December. It's a little bit above it, and is struggling to try to push through that and get, you know, actually break out, quote unquote break out. We haven't had a breakout yet. It's trying, but it just doesn't seem to have the horses yet. Well, why not? But I'll answer that question with this: why should it? What fundamental? What is earnings growing? Is our GDP taking off? Is the Fed lowering interest rates? Is there something the Fed's trying to do to spur the market? No, nothing. Is it, should it fall? Well, there's no reason for it to fall either. The economic news out this week has been pretty decent. Not great. Some things aren't so good. Some are better. And the leading economic indicators, for instance, was up 0.2 last month, the last report, but it reported today it was up 0.6 or 0.7. Much better. Leading economic indicators, which is a conglomeration of 10 different indicators that they put together, and it's supposed to tell you what's going to happen in the economy 6 months, 9 months down the road. Well, it's improved from month over month. By the way, one of those 10 indicators is the stock market itself. Going up or down is positive or negative for the future. Would you like a short list of ETFs that hold a broad mix of dividend-paying stocks and other equities? The reason why I'm bringing this up is because I've had a lot of interest in it, and I want to make sure everybody who wants that gets it. Or maybe you want a commodity ETF list. Well, if you want a variety of lists, they're all there at InvestTalk, available for InvestTalk insiders. And all you have to do to be one of those is go to InvestTalk.com and sign up. It's free, and all you really do is provide an email address. You can go do that right on InvestTalk.com.
And should you bother? That's coming up later this hour. Right now, you can call with your question, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's go talk to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
And I echo that guy that was on the, the call-in.
Yeah.
Because you give everybody good information.
Thank you.
You know, whether or not it's, you know.
Well, that's
any kind of questions, you always seem to answer them.
I try to, anyway, and I appreciate it, Art. I really do.
I just was wondering about Procter & Gamble because I'd like to get some.
I can understand why. You know, it was at $94 a share in December. Today it's $80. So that's a pretty big pullback for one of the biggest, bluest chips of the stocks there is, Procter & Gamble. You know, it's a $218 billion company. It manufactures beauty care products, cleaning products, diapers, tissues. One thing that's nice about Procter & Gamble, Art, is even in a recession, their sales do pretty well. For instance, 2008, they had earnings per share of $3.42. And then 2009, $3.47. It went up. 2010, $3.67. So, you know, this is called a consumer staples company, which is meaning that even in a recession, they do well. That doesn't mean the stock doesn't go down. It just means that everybody knows that they hold up well, so it doesn't go down nearly as much as the rest of the market. Now, is it a good buy right now is what you're asking. It's going to make $4.18 next year. It's an $80 stock. That's about a $20 PE, so it's a little expensive still. Even after it's fallen, it's still expensive for a consumer staples company. So this is a good price on a chart to pick it up. Thanks for the call. Take a look at InvestTalk.com, everybody. Thank you for calling. We'll be right back.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Coming up on the next InvestTalk, they've got other issues, career, school loans, establishing credit. So many young adults don't consider retirement a top priority. Four ways to get millennials to save
for retirement. That's our talking point for Friday, May 22nd. We hope you'll join us then.
888-992-4278. So one of the hardest things to do or learn, and it's a continuing process of learning, is knowing when to sell an investment. And one of the people that made the most money in the market and did it during the early 20th century is Bernard Baruch. And he's the one that said, when he was asked about his success, he said he always replied by saying, "I always sold too early. I always sold too early." A lot of people think Warren Buffett said that. No, he did not. That was Bernard Baruch. Anyways, there is good reasons to sell, a good reason to walk away from a stock. One of those reasons is not in an effort to time the market. Is not. But there is good reasons to sell. Here's one. You sell because you see a better opportunity with something else. So you have to sell something to buy that better opportunity. Okay. There's a reason to sell something because of a better opportunity. If you own a bunch of mutual funds, which a lot of you do out there, you sell because the mutual fund you bought that had a long-term track record of success changed managers. They changed direction. There's a reason to sell a mutual fund. Okay? Or maybe the management fees rose. Or maybe some other expenses rose. I mean, there's reasons to sell a mutual fund. Maybe you bought a small cap mutual fund, and then when you look at what they're actually holding, they're not holding small cap stocks. Half their holdings are mid cap or large. That happens. So it's not what you thought you bought it for. You sell a stock when the reasons that you bought it no longer apply. Maybe you bought it because it was a growth stock, and now it's not a growth stock anymore. It's not growing. Now, another reason for not selling. Don't chase performance for something else. You sell this because something else has short-term performance that looks really good. Don't do that. Not a good idea. For instance, there was a study done in 2013. The best performers of mutual funds, it's been by Morningstar, in 2013, only 56% of them repeated that performance in 2014. And that, so you don't buy the best mutual funds because it's a 50-50 shot. That's not why you should buy. The same thing is true if you go and try to find the worst performing mutual funds thinking they're going to recover. Same 50-50 shot. So it's not a good idea to buy or chase performance or buy something just because it's cheap. So always, if you're buying stocks, one of the things I always tell people, make sure you understand why you bought it. Write down why you bought the stock. And if those reasons change, and the reasons that change too are not the good reasons that you thought were solid, then you get out. Okay? So what's your question? We're here to provide answers. Our listener line is always open, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Jack. I have a question about a recent IPO, Shake Shack. Do you see a reason not to short this stock? Seems to me very high and more than what it deserves. Ticker is SHAK. Thank you.
SHAK called Shack, Shake Shack. Operates 63 shacks in 34 cities and 9 countries, offering premium burgers, hot dogs, fries, shakes, and other items. So it's a hamburger joint, $3 billion company, just came out IPO on January 30th of this year. And today it's at $89. Well, is it worth $89? They've always made money, and they're going to make 13 cents this year and 15 cents next year. Is that a reason to own an $89 stock? The answer is no. The P.E. ratio, 900. Now, why is it getting such hype? Because the sales growth is 50% per quarter. That's why it's getting this hype. I would feel better shorting this than buying it long. I wouldn't short it, but I would, if you're going to make me pick one side or the other, I'd be more comfortable shorting it because it probably will fall. Now, it was up $7 today. So you're shorting in the teeth of a massive rally in this stock. I don't like shorting stocks with really high sales growth. I don't. It just makes me too nervous because people are irrational in the short term. Yes, and this is irrational, this high movement on this stock. And I, you know, these are the kinds of things you just got to be very, very careful of. Is it going to get popular? Is it going to grow? It probably is. You know, I don't, you know, it probably is. I'm not saying that, you know, it's probably got great growth prospects. That's why I wouldn't choose to short it. But it is much better to be on the short side than the long side at this time because of how pricey it is. But people have had in their mind that this is what it should be worth. So you got to be real careful. Is a company statement really important when you're evaluating an investment? And how do you read them? Coming up next half hour on Vestalk 101. I hope you stay with us. 888-99-CHARTS, how you reach me right now, and this is InvestTalk. Or we're going to go talk to Anthony in Burlingame. How you doing, Anthony?
Hey, how's it going, Steve?
Good. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Hey, wanted to get your input on CLF, Cliffs Natural Resources. I've had a short position on for a while now, given the company's debt load. Looks like they're currently carrying about $2.88 billion of debt and about $300 million in working cash or cash equivalents. Doesn't appear like the steel industry is getting better anytime soon. Wanted to get your take on whether or not I should take this short position off or keep the pedal to the metal.
If it was me, Cliff, I'd probably cut my short position. I don't know if I'd take it off completely. This is why. All the numbers you just quoted are correct. Earnings are going to be, they're going to lose money this year, 18 cents a share, after making $1.68 last year. Next year, they're going to earn 6 cents, according to this. But sales have been falling. The most recent quarter, sales were down 28%. It looks really bad, okay? I have a feeling, though, it looks like they put in a bottom back in March, started to come off that bottom. Did you see that? From a technical point of view. Then failed at resistance, is now coming back down to retest that bottom. And that bottom is like a 425 or so, and the stock right now is at $5.
I keep thinking it might break that. I think it might put in a new low, maybe the high threes or even high twos.
Well, I'll tell you this. It deserves it. It deserves that. But I'm on a technical basis. If it doesn't break below 425 or so in the next couple of weeks, then it probably is not going to go there. That means that's where your support is. Okay, a lot of support comes in from a technical point of view. Fundamentally, the company looks pretty stinky, okay? So, and it's coming back down to retest those lows. And if it retests those lows, that's called a double bottom and starts back up. Boy, you've got to get out, okay? You got to get out. If it starts back up, got to get back out. You got to get out, okay?
All right.
Thanks, Anthony. That's shorting. He's making a bet that it's going to go down, that the stock will go down, and he'll make money if it does. And if he's been in it a while, he probably has, because it was a year ago, it was $16, $17 a share. Let's talk to Catherine in Berkeley. How are you doing, Catherine?
I am doing well.
Thank you.
I'm about 50 years old, and I have a host of all types of investments, mm-hmm. and I'm about to retire, and I wanted to simplify that. I'm basically a person that buys and forgets,
okay.
and I was thinking about just arranging that in a more simplistic combination of ETFs, like the S&P 500 ETF. I have DVY, some of the dividend-paying ETFs, and I was wondering if there's anything wrong with that.
No, that's perfectly reasonable, and I suggest it all the time when I sit down and meet people, and they have assets all over the place. It says, you know, you can't keep track of them that way. It's too hard. So if you can consolidate different accounts into one. That's great. Now, you can't consolidate a Roth IRA with a regular IRA, but you might have an old 401k you can roll over into your IRA. You want to consolidate as much as you can and then make it simpler, make your life simpler.
How do you know, I have everything in one account, but how do you know, like, the traditional, I used to always read Mr. Bogle, uh-huh. And how do you know what the proper portfolio allocation is?
Well, it's not hard. You're 50 years old, so, and you're going to retire, or you're close to retirement, and so at that goal of retirement, you start to get more conservative. You don't want to be fully invested in the market. Well, what does that mean? Well, I would suggest you really want to know what kind of risk taker you are. And if you don't know if you like to take low risk, high risk, medium risk, if you don't know that about yourself, there are ways to figure that out. And I have a piece of software that's free on my website called Riskalyze that you answer like 4, 5, 6 questions and it gives you a score. And just so you know, a score of 80 is the S&P 500. So that's the risk level of the S&P 500. If your score comes in at 50 and you are all in the market, you are too exposed to the market. So you can you can start there and just start the conversation. You can send me your holdings if you like. I'll take a look at it and tell you what I think. You know, if you take that risk score, you send me your holdings. I'll put the holdings in the same software and tell you what their risk number is. It's a really neat piece of software, and it's free, no obligations. But you got to figure out a good, like if you're in retirement, you don't want to be 100% in the market. I say you need about 50% in the market if you're at retirement. You still want to be in, you want growth, but you don't want to take, you can't make the money again if you're in retirement. You can't.
Right.
So you don't want it to go down 50% like it did 2008, right? We don't want that to happen in retirement. So go to my website and take that Riskalyze score. If you're having trouble finding it, just send me an email and I'll send you a link. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Catherine.
On the website.
And, I'm going to be up the Bay Area if you want to sit down and meet and talk with me. I'll have dates here. I'm going to announce some dates today on the show. So, you can also set up a time to sit down with me if you like.
All right.
Thanks, Catherine. And for anybody who's ever met with me, you know I do not push people into buying or selling or moving to my management. I don't do that. I just try to answer questions, and if it fits, it fits. It doesn't, it doesn't. It's okay. Let's go to Saeed in Houston. How you doing, Saeed?
Hey, Steve. As I said, I started listening to you, and I pretty much hooked up with the I can't wait to hear you. So it's really great.
Thank you.
A great knowledge.
Boy, I'm going to get Saeed, you're going to give me a big head, Saeed. You're the third guy today that said, they like the show. I'm going to be all pumped up.
you can hire me and I can work in Houston to get supplies.
Thanks, Saeed. I appreciate
it. Here is a very quick question. About the dollar, I asked, I think yesterday, you have to let me know exactly is going to be on the uptrend because it did not drop even today. So again, my question is DXY heading towards 100 again, or is it going to go 97.50 and going to drop back? I mean, give me some kind of a direction and support and what's exactly your
this is for the dollar, Saeed, for the dollar you're talking about?
Yes, DXY, because I sometimes buy UUP a big position. So okay. I'm kind of stuck. I have a long position where it's not going up. I'm kind of losing money right now.
Yeah, let's talk about UUP because I can pull that up. And UUP, by the way, for everybody else, it's a PowerShares ETF that follows the dollar. So it goes up when the dollar gets strong. And it goes down when the dollar gets weak. And Saeed, I'll tell you this. I think the dollar has peaked. It peaked back in February. It retested that peak in was it April or March? It was in April. It retested and failed, and then it's fallen. So now, just recently, last few days, it spiked up, and about 3 days ago, and now it's just kind of right there. I think this is now testing resistance again, and I think it's going to fall. I don't think it's going to go up, and not because we are going to get weaker. Meaning the United States economy. It's more to do with the rest of the world getting stronger. they're really weak, and they have all these QEs out there, quantitative easing. They're trying to be pumped up, and it's going to work like it worked for us, and it's going to make their currency probably stronger in relationship to our currency, I think. Now, Saeed, no one really knows, right? You know that. I don't have a crystal ball. But I do think we've seen the top of the dollar. I think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to get real strong. I could be wrong. It's just my personal opinion. And it's not because our economy is weak. It's because other economies are gaining strength.
What about if Greece kicked out and dollar can shoot up above 100 and the euro can go parity? Is that a possibility?
It's possible. But you know what, Saeed? I think everybody is... Do you remember when the Greek problem happened a couple, 3 years ago and the market kind of flipped out and they got really volatile and, you know, like, so like, was it 2011, I think it was? I don't remember exactly when it was. But it was all in the news. Now, this time, it's much closer to defaulting than it was last time and no one's really caring. So I have a feeling no one is too freaked out about it and everybody thinks it's probably going to be okay. But if it did default, the market will have a problem. I don't think, though, the dollar will rally that much. If it would, it'd be a one-day or two-day spike, and that's probably it. You know, that's what I think. Because everybody's waiting for it, used to it. It's not anything new now. It's old news. Okay?
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Saeed, don't, just because I said something doesn't mean it's going to be true, though. Okay? Yeah, it's just my opinion. It's just my opinion, you know. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I really appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Understanding life insurance. I hate life insurance. I never have bought life insurance in my life. But it is important for some people in situations. If you have a family, you have a mortgage, you have children. I never had children, so there was really no reason in my mind that I needed to do that. But we do have an info sheet on it. If you're interested in reading up on life insurance, I'm okay with term life insurance. But if you want to know why, or you want to know more information about life insurance, you can sign up and get it at InvestTalk.com by being an InvestTalk insider.
It's something that should be done at least once a year. If you don't, you may be taking more risk than you want, and you may be missing some opportunities. It's a portfolio review. Your collection of assets may be out of balance and in need of pruning. One way to find out is to meet with Steve. Steve schedules a handful of these meetings each month. The new dates for June are being announced right now. San Ramon, June 16th, and San Jose, June 17th. These are individual meetings on a first-come, first-served basis. So save your time now. Go to InvestTalk.com and click on Schedule a Meeting.
888-99-CHART. Existing home sales came out today. And there was good. It was funny because I was reading different headlines about it. And some headlines were negative and some were positive. And I'm thinking, it's the same numbers. How can you? So really, it tells you, whatever the news media want, whatever bent they want to take, they can take it. These are the numbers. Existing home sales grew 8.9% year over year. And the median price, I'm sorry, existing home sales value of price grew 8.9% year over year. And the price is $219,400. The number of properties sold fell from month over month. From last month to this month, the most recent report, which is April, March to April, the existing home sales fell. And that was reported as bad news. But if you remember, in March, it was a huge up. It jumped strongly up. Okay, so now it fell, but just fell a little bit. But so you can say it fell. Fell 3.3% in April from March. But if you look over year, last year, the sales were up nicely from last year. Why were the sales down? Well, maybe because inventory is slight. We don't have a lot of inventory. It's kind of tight. The number of homes available to sell month over month fell 1%. That's not a lot, but it's less homes available. You know, and do you remember I reported on the housing starts earlier in the week? And that jumped up 20% month over month. So the housing is in pretty good shape. I think we have a pretty good housing market right now, and I think it's going to stay in decent shape for a while. Not going to be great, not going to be hot, but good. Just good. Let's go to Steve in El Sobrante. How you doing, Steve?
Hey, nice to talk to you.
Thanks for the call.
Well, I have two grandchildren, and I was thinking about getting them each some Disney stock.
Tell me about Disney. Any long period hold, Disney is one of my favorite companies, and it's going to be really strong for many, many years, but it's a little overpriced right now. It's a little overpriced right now. The current PE is 24, price earnings ratio is 24. The 5-year average PE is 11 to 24. That's the range of the 5-year. So it's right at the top of its range. So I do think long term, this is a stock you want to have in your portfolio.
Okay.
But you might want to wait. I would wait for a market pullback. You'll probably have one sometime before the end of this year. Usually in the summer there is one. And that's kind of when I would think about buying it, when the market falls.
But what about this new movie coming out that's supposed to be hot, hot, hot?
It is. And since you know about it, think about it this way, Steve. If you know about it and you think it's going to be hot, hot, hot because you heard that people say it's going to be, that is already built into the price of the stock.
Okay.
Because everybody knows it.
Even before the money comes in from it.
Yep. There's an old saying in the stock market. Buy the rumor, sell the news. So the rumor is this movie is going to be really hot. When it actually comes out and makes bazillions of dollars, you sell the stock. You buy the rumor, you sell the news. Markets always look forward. Okay, Steve?
Yes.
So where
would you look to get in?
Okay, that's a very good question. I would love to buy this stock about $95. That would be when my ideal part. It's 110 now. That is 15% retracement. I would be ideal, in my opinion. You may not get it, but it's ideal.
But it's worth looking at 95. Well, I have a 1-year-old and a 2-year-old grandson and daughter, so I'm just thinking it's a great stock that they would like as they grow up.
And they would. Congratulations, by the way. That's great. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate the call. We're coming up on the last segment of the program. Let's try to get your question in. Call us now at 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. You should know about our next live webinar. This is a 1-hour session about global investing. Steve and Justin see this as a solution to the overpriced domestic market now, if you do it right. Join them June 4th at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. It's free, and you do need to sign up, though. You can do that right now on investtalk.com.
You know, stocks do have an annual cycle. They do. If you don't know what that is, you need to learn what that is, okay? But they do. Wall Street versus Main Street. And this is a study done by J.P. Morgan. And it started in 2007, and it said over the last 6 years from 2007 to 2014. One of the reasons that it appears that Wall Street always makes money, whereas individuals always struggle to make money, and this statistic kind of shines a light on that. Now we all know since 2007 to now, well, the market has rallied. You had that big bear market, and then you had the huge bull market, right? Well, over that period, bear and bull market, over that period, individual investors pulled out $661 billion out of U.S. equities and ETFs. Out. Not in. Pulled that money out. While institutional investors poured money in, $665 billion. Think about that for a minute. So individuals pulled money out because the market crashed and they're scared and whatever reason, but institutionals put money in to about the same amount of money they pulled out. Who do you think made more money? Of course, institutions, because the bull market was huge. Why did they pull out the individuals? Maybe they don't trust Wall Street. Maybe that's one of the reasons they pulled out. Maybe they let emotions control their decision making. Maybe because there's all those scandals, bank scandals with those CDOs and CMOs and, you know, the real estate. They just, you know, individuals don't trust Wall Street at all. You know they don't. Was that the reason why they pulled out? Maybe because all these huge pay packages for corporations. Maybe they don't like that. You know what? It doesn't matter what you don't like or do like about Wall Street. Your job is to make money in the stock market and not care about all these other things. You know, you don't care about bankers' scandals and Madoffs. You just, you know, that's not really what you need to focus on. You need to focus on growing your money. And too many people pull out because they hate Wall Street or hate corporations, big CEOs making big money. You know, that's not, okay, you can hate that all you want, but don't invest that way. And it could be because you had two market crashes, 2000.com and then the 2008. Maybe that's why people just pull out. But they over long term, I'm worried that they start pouring in money now. You know, institutional investors, you know if they're going to pull out, they have to sell to somebody. I'm not saying they're pulling out. I don't see any evidence of that. So I'm trying to point out clearly that you need to really step back and understand why you're out of the market. Long term, that's where you need to be. Simple as that. We have time for one last call. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hi, this is Mark from Madison, and I was just wondering what a good time would be to get into ADT, A as in Apple, D as in Dog, T as in Tom. What you guys thought? Thanks. Bye.
When someone asks me when's a good time to get into a stock, that drives me immediately to the chart to see where there's support and resistance and so on and so forth. So I look at a chart first, but that has nothing to do with the fundamentals, how good the company is, are they growing? So I always want to know what the fundamentals are before you buy a stock. An ADP, it provides electronic security, ADT, provides electronic security, interactive home and business automation, alarm systems. They're growing pretty nicely. They're going to make $2.02. They made $2.02 in 2014. Only going to make $2 a share this year, but then $2.17 next year. They're growing in the single digits in their sales. So it's not a huge grower. It has an 18 PE. It's a $37 stock. Looking at a chart, it is now right at support. And it looks like it's trying to bounce up off support. So this is a good place to buy it, but it's not cheap and it's not overly expensive. But this is a good place to buy it right where it is. Okay. Before we close for the hour, join us on June 4th at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time for our free live webinar. This is about looking for alternatives to higher priced domestic stocks if you're looking for bargains. I hope you'll join us. You can find out more and sign up at investtalk.com. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein, everyone at KPP Financial, thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.